إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we'll be looking at another topic from the book بلوغ المرام by الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني and this is باب الحضانة the chapter of الحضانة الحضانة means the taking care of a child. If the parent of the British who is more rightful to the care of the child, is it the mother or the father? This is what we'll be discussing inshaAllah. باب الحضانة the chapter of الحضانة the false hadith that the author brought here أن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما from عبد الله the son of عمر may Allah be pleased with him and his father أن امرأة قالت he said that a woman said يا رسول الله O Messenger of Allah إن ابن هذا كان بطني لو وعاء This son of mine, my stomach has been a vessel for him. That is, I was the one that bore the pregnancy for 9 months or so. وفضي لو سقاء And my breast was the water skin for him, that is, he drank my milk, وَحِجْرِ لَوْ حِوَاءً and my bosom or my lap was what carried him, وَإِنَّ أَبَاءُ طَلَّقَنِي his father divorced me after all this, وَأَرَادَ يَنْزِعُ مِنِّي In addition to that, he wants to snatch the child from me or the son from me. فَقَالَ لَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to us, أَنْتِ أَحَقُّ بِهِ مَا لَمْ تَنْكِحِ You are more rightful to the child as long as you have not remarried. رواه أحمد وأبو داود وصححه الحاكم. الإمام أحمد recorded this hadith in his Musnad, likewise أبو داود in his Sunan, and الحاكم declared it to be authentic. Now this hadith is one of the ahadith on what you know as child care. That is Al-Hadana, who is to take care of the child after the separation of the parents or after the mother dies or something like that. We all know that taking care of the child is something that is very, very important. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us know in many verses of the Quran. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وقود الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, O you believe, who أنفسكم, protect yourselves, وأهليكم, and your family, that is your children and your wives, naran, from a fire, وقود الناس والحجارة. The wakud, the fuel of which is الناس والحجارة, mankind and stone. عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. The fire that is being guarded, being protected by angels that are ten looking, that do not fear anybody, and they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to do is what they carry out. So the shahid here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us know the importance of protecting oneself and protecting one's children. Now, we've talked about at-talaq, separation between the husband and the wife, or al-khul'u, when a woman seeks divorce from the husband, or maybe something of other fuck that will make both of them separated and will make the union of both the husband and the wife come to an end. Let's assume there is a child between both of them. Who is going to take care of the child? And this is called al-hadana. Both of them, they are rightful to it. But who is more rightful? The father is rightful to the taking care of the child. The mother is also rightful. But the question is, who is more rightful to this child care? So this is what we want to look at, inshallah. The author brought a hadith on this. And the first hadith that he brought is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, that a woman came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her effort and the pain she had gone through in trying to bring this child to life. Yes, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made it possible for the child to come to life. But somebody was used as a means. Somebody was a means of bringing the child to life. The mother bore the child in her stomach for months, 9 months or more or less. And this is what she was referring to when she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ ابْنِ هَذَا كَانَ بَطْنِي لَهُ وِئَاءً. وِئَاء is a virtue. So the woman said, my belly had been a virtue for this son of mine. That is, I was the one that carried him for months. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. The mother carried him وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ, weakness upon weakness. So the mother was presenting this before the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as to get what? So as to get favor from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could rule in our favor. So that is not the only thing she presented. وَكَانَ ثَدِي لَهُ ثِقَاءً. ثِقَاء is a water skin. So my breast was like a water skin for him.
that is, he drank my grace. Not only that, he also said that a hijr, meaning the bosom or the lap, so was a kind of hiwa. Hiwa is something that carries anything. So my hijr was hiwa for him. That is, I was the one carrying him around. The mother who backed the child, who put the child by her side, put the child on her lap. And like that, when the child is crying, she's distraught. The father may not be around at times. Even when the child is crying at night, the mother will be the one to watch, to be disturbed. So she presented all these reasons before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah said, "Where anti ahakku bihi? For all this, you are more rightful to the child, but on one condition. Ma lam tankihi, as long as you have not remarried." Because the man is also what? Rightful to the child. Without the spermatozoa of the man, the child wouldn't have come into existence. Your womb that carries the child couldn't have produced the child. Likewise, your thighs or your lap that carried the child wouldn't have what? Carried anything if the man had not produced the spermatozoa. So the man is also rightful to the child, but you are more rightful to the child than the man. You are more rightful to the child than the man. So this was the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now scholars, they agreed on one thing, that is, when Islam says you are more rightful to the child than the husband, one thing has been taken into consideration, and that is the care of the child himself or herself. The care of the child himself or herself. This is what was taken into consideration. So the first thing, where would the child get the best care? So undoubtedly the child will get the best care why he or she is with the mother, undoubtedly. The best care, ordinarily, the best care of the child is when he or she is with the mother. So this was taken into consideration. So when the Messenger of Allah said, "Anti ahakku bihi ma lam tankihi," you are more rightful to the child as long as you have not remarried. He had taken into consideration towards the care of the child, not just the rights of the mother. Yes, the rights of the mother is there, but the care of the child takes precedence. And that's why scholars have said, why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this? Is it because of the umuma or the unusa? Umuma, motherhood, because she is a mother, or because she is a woman? Is it because of being a mother or because of being a woman? Which reason? Anti ahakku bihi ma lam tankihi. Two things can be what? Looked at from that. Is it because she's a woman or because she is the mother? So both the scholars, they said, could be what? Could be the reason. And that's why they differ on the one to take care of the child in the absence of the mother. Who is to take care of the child? Who is to take care of the child in the absence of the mother? Take for instance, if the mother is late, or if the mother has remarried, who is to take care of the child? Is it the father or another woman? Because women are better in terms of what? Taking care of child. So some scholars said another woman will take care of the child. And that's why some of them are of the opinion that the next person after the mother is the grandmother. The grandmother. That is the mother of the mother, is the next person to take care of the child. This is the view of majority of the scholars. The next person to take care of the child after the mother is the grandmother. Because they consider the aspect of what? Of the side of the mother. How this is claimed. They also consider the aspect of what? Of unusa. Two things. Now the mother aside will be those that are more entitled or more rightful. Secondly, then those who are women in aside. Because these two qualities are present in the mother of the child. The mother of the child was a woman, and she was also what? She was a mother. So these two reasons, they said what will be considered. And that's why majority of the scholars are of the opinion that if a man and his wife are separated, the child goes to the mother. This is what? Binasal hadith. This is clear in the hadith. But after the mother, maybe the mother has remarried or the mother is late, who is the next person? Majority of the scholars said the next person is the grandmother. Is the grandmother. Considering the side of the mother. Likewise, considering the aspect of what? Of feminism, so to say, being a female. However, some scholars, they argue view that this is not correct. When we look at the hadith, أنت أحق به ما لم تنكح, you are more rightful to the child as long as you have not remarried. The person that has come trying to trying to take the child from the mother is the father. So if he was not rightful to the child after the mother, that is, if he wasn't the more rightful person to the child after the mother, Messenger of Allah would have explained this. That even there are people who are more rightful to the child more than you. Since the Prophet said the next person after the mother is the father. The next person after the mother is the father. So this is the view of some scholars and the Mazahib. Now this issue of adona, the child care, is a very controversial issue. It's a very controversial issue. But what most scholars are upon is that after the mother, they all agree on this. After the mother, the next person is the grandmother. This is according to most scholars of the Mazahib. Yes, there is serious difference of opinion within the Mazahib themselves. But as I said, they all agree that the mother is number one. As long as what she has not remarried, and as long as that is going to serve the interest of the child. Because the interest of the child, they all agree, comes first. The interest of the child comes first, then followed by the interest of the mother. So when we are comparing the interest of the mother and the interest of the father, so we give precedence to the interest of the mother. So this is what is being said. So the Prophet said to us, "Anti hakumima lam tankihi, you are more rightful to the child as long as you have not remarried." Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala, likewise his students Ibn Qayyim and many other scholars, they said the father is the next person after the mother. Based on this hadith, the father is the next person after the mother. So inshallah we are going to talk more on that. But that is the first hadith that was brought by the author.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه from Abu Huraira may Allah be pleased with him أن امرأة قالت he said that a woman said يا رسول الله O Messenger of Allah إن زوجي يريد أن يذهب بابني my husband wants to go away with my son my husband wants to go away with my son meaning they are separated وقد نفعني وسقاني من بئر أبي عنبة this son has been useful to me this son has been useful to me وسقاني من بئر أبي عنبة he has fetched me water from the well of Abu Inaba that is this is part of the usefulness of the son the woman did not want the son to go because of the usefulness of the son to her so my husband has divorced me and he wants to go away with the child with my son وَقَدْ نَفَعَنِي and he has benefited me, has been useful to me. وَسَقَانِي مِنْ بِيْرِ أَبِي عِنَبَ He has fetched water for me from the well of Abu Inaba. فَجَاءَ زَوْجُهَا As the woman was complaining to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the husband came. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَا غُلَام O boy, O young boy, غُلَام He is a boy that has not reached puberty most of the time, but has reached the age of what, 10 years. That is a boy that is above, let's say 7 or 8, is called Gulam. If it's less than that, it's just ordinary Sobi. But above 7, but not up to the level of puberty, is called what, Gulam. Just like Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, when Messenger of Allah was telling him, Ya Ghulam, Ihfad Allah Yahfadik. So then Abdullah ibn Abbas was around 11, 12, 13. So very young boy. So this young boy was brought by the mother, and the mother was pointing to him, telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Oh Messenger of Allah, my husband has divorced me, and he wants to go away with my son. And this son has been helpful, has been useful to me, to the extent that he will fetch me water from the well of Abu Inaba. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Ya Ghulam, O young boy, هذا أبوك, this is your father, وآذه أمك, and this is your mother. فَقُذْ بِيَدِ أَيِّهِ مَا شِيْتْ فَقُذْ بِيَدِ أَيِّهِ مَا شِيْتْ Hold on to the hand of either of them. Hold on to the hand of either of them that you like. فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِ أُمِّهِ The young boy held the hand of his mother from فَانْطَلَقَتْ بِهِ And the mother went away with him. Now this another hadith. The first one is the case of a boy that has not reached the age of what, 10 years, the age of differentiation, that a child can differentiate between good or bad. And the age of 10 years is just between 7, 8 or so, 6, 7, 8. So that's the age of 10 years. So that one has not reached the age of 10 years, but in this case, this boy is Ghulam. He has reached the age of 10 years, though not yet valid. Look at the qadar of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, and look at his qadar in the first one. And the first one, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Anti ahaqqu bihi ma lam tantahi." You are more rightful to the child, but on condition, as long as you are not remarried, because you are not the only one that is rightful to the child. As I've mentioned, the father is also rightful to the child, but you are more rightful. But in this case, Messenger of Allah did not tell the mother, you are more rightful. Rather, he gave the child the choice to pick either the mother or the father because the child has reached the age of 10 years. The child can determine who is more helpful
or who is likely to take care of him more. So this is also what? The reign of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this. وعن رافع بن سنان from رافع بن سنان أنه أسلم he embraced Islam. رافع بن سنان embraced Islam وأبت مرأته أن تسلم but the wife refused to embrace Islam. The husband embraced Islam, the wife refused to embrace Islam. So both of them, they were separated. Now if a man embraces Islam and the wife does not embrace Islam, if the man, the woman is a Christian, or originally Christian, they are still what? They are still together. But if the woman was an idolater other than what, Christian or Jew, the man cannot keep up. They are separated. They are separated. And the opposite, a woman is a woman embraces Islam and the husband refuses to embrace Islam. They are separated. A woman embraces Islam, but the husband refuses to embrace Islam. They are separated. Only that what she's going to do iddah. And during this iddah period, the man is not going to what? Touch her. Man is not going to touch her. So if the man embraces Islam before the expiration, so to say, of the iddah, they continue their what? Their nikah continues. But if the man does not embrace Islam till the woman finishes a iddah, can they, maybe after she has finished the iddah, maybe a year or 2 years after, the man now has a rethink and wants to what, go to the woman. If the woman has not remarried, their nikah is still what, valid, if she has not remarried. But she can remarry after what? After the iddah. But if she has not remarried and the man has a rethink wanting to embrace Islam, then their nikah, they don't need to do a new nikah, as we have said before, based on the hadith of Zainab, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the husband. Now, what I'm trying to say in essence there is that this case, the man embraced Islam, but the wife did not embrace Islam. The wife, not a Christian, not a Jew, so most likely she was a mushrika of the people of Abu Jahl and the likes. So what will happen? وعن رافي بن سنان أنه أسلم رافي بن سنان embraced Islam وأبت مرأته أن تسلم. The mother refused, the wife refused to embrace Islam. فأقعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأمة ناحية. Both of them, they came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم about the child care. Who is going to take care of the child? The woman came, who was a mushrika. The husband came, who was also a Muslim. He asked the woman to sit on one side, and he asked the man to also sit on the other side. وَأَقْعَدَ وَالْأَبَ نَحِيَةً وَأَقْعَدَ الصَّبِيَّ بَيْنَهُمَا. Then he placed the Sabi between both of them. فَقَالَ لَهُمَّ اهْدِي. He said, oh Allah, guide him. فَمَالَ إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِ فَأَخَذَهُ أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو دَاوُدَ. So the child tilted towards what? The father. Now this Sabi, ordinarily, as we said earlier, Sabi is what? Is a young child. If it is
he has reached age of 10 years, so be. If he's more, can also be called what? So be. But in this case, was the child up towards the age of 10 years or not? Which one? Was the child up to the age of Sabi or not? Was he up to the age of 10 years? What is the evidence? No, when he said, Allahumma hadi, O Allah guide him, what does that mean? Allahumma hadi, O Allah guide him. Famala ila abi, and the boy was inclined towards the father. Fa'akhadahu, and the father took him. What does that mean? Now the question here is, you know, we said in the first case that anti ahaqqu bi ma lam tankih, that was the judgment he gave. Huh? Anti ahaqqu bi ma lam tankih, you are more rightful to the child. And we said the child was not up to what? Up to 10 years. Then the second case, he said what? He gave the child the option to choose. Huh? Because the child was up to the age of what? 10 years, because he called him Gulam. Now we have in this hadith now Sabi. We said if they say Gulam, ordinarily it should be what? Up to. Though it can be used to mean what somebody is not up to, just like your Aqwan is Gulam, or Kullu Muludin, something like that. So at times Gulam can be used to refer to somebody who is what? Less. But when they use Gulam most of the time, it means somebody who is above sin of what? 10 years. So B can refer to what? Somebody is low and can refer to. But most often when they use Sabi, the person is what? Is not up to. So the reason I'm asking this question now is that if we say the child was not up to the age of 10 years, who was supposed to take the child? The mother. So if you say the child was up to the age of 10 years, who was supposed to take the child? So the child will be allowed to what? To choose, to decide. So can we say the child is up to the sin of 10 years here? Because Messenger said what? Allah Mahdi, O Allah guide him. Yes. That's it. Was up to the age of 10 years, that was why he said what? Allahumma hadi. So what? If one argues that the child was not up to the age of 10 years, the child was not up to the age of 10 years, and then Allah said what? Allahumma hadi. Ordinarily, the mother should have the child. Because the child was not up to the age of 10 years, ordinarily. But what makes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say Allahumma hadi? If you argue from the angle that the child was not up to the age of 10 years, for instance. Because one of the parents was not a Muslim, the mother was not a Muslim. So if you say not up to the age of 10 years, unless the mother would have what? Been the one to. But putting the child in the care of a kafir, does it benefit the child? So I have said that what the interest of the child has to supersede the interest, that is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to rear our children, supersedes every other thing. So now saying the child should go for which the kafir, so that will not be in the interest of what? The child. And this is what majority of the scholars are upon. That if the mother was a kafira, despite the fact that Messenger of Allah said what, anti ahaqqu bi ma lam tankihi, she should not be allowed to what? To take care of the child, because she is what? A kafira, except for the Hanafiya. Abu Hanifa has the view that no, You are going to stick to what? Anti haqqu bihi ma lam tankihi. So if the mother is a kafira, his opinion is that what you give the child. The view of the al-murai is that what you give the child to the kafir. Until the child reaches the age of what? 10 years, then you cannot talk about who is going to what? Who is going to take care of the child after the age of what? 10 years. Is that clear? But what majority of the scholars of the opinion is that you can't give the child to a kafir to take care of. Or to a kafir to take care of. In fact, majority of the scholars, they went further than that. They said if the father is ungodly or the mother is ungodly, this issue of what? Who is ahaq doesn't come in. Because it doesn't serve what? The interest, the sharia interest of the child. How this is clear. Though Ibn Qayyim and some other scholars, they argue that in this case of being a fasiq, a parent being a fasiq, and it's more rightful to the child who cannot deny the parent. Because even during time of the companions, it doesn't mean that all of them are what? We don't have anybody that has one minus or the other. So it was not reported that Messenger of Allah said what? They should be prevented from what? Taking care of their children. So this is the argument of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, disagreeing with what majority of the scholars have said concerning a fasiq being what? In custody of a child. But that of kafir or kafira, majority of the scholars, their position is what? Is very, very strong. Contrary to what Abu Hanifa or the Al-Rai, what he said, that a kafira should be allowed to take care of a child as long as she has not remarried. So, Wallahu alam, the interest of the child comes first. If the child is going to be affected religiously, then we don't allow such a person to take care of the child, even if he or she is more rightful to it. But the basis is that if the child has not reached the age of 10 years, the mother is more rightful to the child. The mother is more rightful to the child. Now, if you say the child has reached the age of 10 years, then that Messenger of Islam was to give them tahir, that is to choose. So the supplication will just be what? For that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide the child to choose what is good. Because he knew that what was good for the child was to go with the Muslim father. To go with the Muslim father. That is what will be good for the child religiously. وعن البراء بن عازب from البراء the son of عازب رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم قضى في ابنة حمزة he passed a judgment concerning the daughter of حمزة لخالتها that the daughter should go for the خالة the aunt that the daughter should go to her aunt. Who was her aunt? Her aunt was the wife of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam they went to Mecca, the daughter of Hamza wanted to follow the Prophet, them to Medina. And Messenger of Allah Ali radiallahu anhu took the child. In another report it was said that Zayd bin Haritha took the child. But when they got to Medina also, the three of them, Ali, Zayd bin Haritha, and Ja'far bin Abi Talib, they had what? They had this agreement concerning who will be the one to take care of the child. Who will be the one to take care of the child? So Ali said,
I'm more rightful to take care of the child. Why? He said, the father of the girl was a relative of his, that he was a younger brother of his father, so his uncle. So likewise, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fatima radiallahu anha, was under him. That was the statement of Ali. Ja'far, the same thing. Ja'far was a brother to Ali radiallahu anhu. So Hamza was also his watch, his uncle, because Hamza was the younger brother of Abu Talib. He said, I'm more righteous. Then in addition to that, the mother of this girl is what? Is my wife. Sorry, the younger sister of the mother of this girl, that is the aunt of this girl, is my wife. Then Ibn Harithah said, well, it is the daughter of my brother, that is brother in what? In Radu'a, that is the boat. They were both fed with milk by the same woman. So he said that the father of this girl was my brother. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now gave judgment concerning that. Qadr of Ibnati Hamza, he passed judgment concerning the daughter of Hamza that they were disputing about, لِخَالَتِهَا, that the mother should, the daughter should go to the khala, should go to the khala, the aunt. Who was the aunt? The wife of Ja'far. وقال, and he said, الْخَالَةُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْأُمِّ. الْخَالَةُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْأُمِّ. The aunt, the maternal aunt, not paternal, the maternal aunt, khala, if it is paternal, it is amma. So al-khala fi mazilatil um, the maternal aunt is like the mother. Akhraj al-Bukhari, Bukhari recorded this. Wa akhraj al-Muhammad and Ahmad recorded min hadithi aliyin from the hadith of Ali. Faqad, he said, wa jariyatu inda khalatiha, the jariya, that is the young girl, should be with our aunt. Fa inna al-khalata walida, because the aunt is a mother. فإن الخالة والدة, because the maternal aunt is a mother. Now this hadith is what one of the evidences of jumhur of the scholars who say in the absence of the mother, maybe the mother has remarried or the mother is late, that the relative of the mother, the female relative of the mother will be the one to take care of the child. Because in this case, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Al-khalat bi manzilati al-um, the maternal aunt is like the mother. The maternal aunt is like the mother. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So the jumhur of the scholars, they use this as what? As evidence that in the absence of the mother, maybe if she has remarried or she's late, if she has remarried or she's late, the child goes to the relative of the mother, a female relative. Because in this case, Messenger of Allah gave the daughter to Al-Khala. But those who say the child will go to the father and to the relative of the father, like the question of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala and some others, they said this is not an evidence. This is not an evidence. Now, do you agree with this, that is not an evidence? Okay, why do you agree? Why? As long as she has not remarried.
What if she has married with the child?
Goes to the father.
Yes. What has been married with the child?
Huh?
If she has married, if it has been a lot of children, then I think she will still be married, and then the child can go to any of our own marriage. But if it has been a lot of getting remarried, then the child is not supposed to go to any of the
Okay, whether the woman is late or she has remarried. Now, we all agree that she is more rightful to the child. Unless if there is something of kufu or something of serious mafia in her way of life that will affect the child. And the interest of the child comes first. That is, the religious interest of the child comes first. But in this case now, maybe the woman is no more alive or she has remarried. Who is the next person? We said the majority of the scholars, they use this as evidence that the next person is the mother side. The females in the mother side, not the father. Now we talk of what the females in the father side. The females in the mother side are the next. What is the evidence? The third message of Allah said was Al-Khanat bi-manzilatil Umm. The maternal aunt is like the mother. And it was the judgment given the daughter of Hamza to Akhala, who was Asma bint Umays, gave her to Asma bint Umays, who was the wife of Ja'far at that time. So this was the argument. This is the argument. But she said what we disagree. I've not seen the reason why you have not brought your evidence for Mr. Green. Who was not more alive?
Hamza and Bro. Hamza.
Hamza, okay.
And Bro, they are both alive.
Okay.
And if Hamza was alive, the rest of them are going to Hamza. But this is Bro,
so meaning after the mother, the father, after the father, the relative of the mother. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the grandmother? The grandmother and the aunt, who is more rightful? Huh? So in this case they also agree that the grandmother supersedes the aunt. So and this is why the minority were of the opinion that no, the custody of the child goes to the father or the relative of the father. They have the opinion that you say what al khala to be wrong that in Om. But you also agree that if the grandmother was alive or is alive, she supersedes the aunt. So this, as I said, is a very controversial matter. Like some days back, somebody was asking me that the parent or the mother of his wife, his divorced wife, did not allow, they took away the children, so they did not allow him to see the children. So they took away the children. So and from what he has learned from the hadith that he is supposed to be the next person when the mother remarries. And I said, this is what, based on a position in fiqh. There is a position that says what? After what? After the mother, if the mother remarries, who is the next person? The grandmother. The grandmother or the wife is the next person. And this is the view of the majority of the scholars. So the view that says what? It is the Father. Huh? So they have what? A position to that is what in the absence of the grandmother. So and that's why one should not be surprised when one is in an environment where the court gives judgment that, oh yes, your child, but the mother is more rightful to the child, and but she has remarried. They are still she remarried, and they would say what? The custody still goes to the grandmother. Then after the grandmother, the khala, like that. Huh? But according to Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala and some others, Ibn Qayyim, they are of the opinion that after the mother, the father. Then after the father, the lineage of the father, the women. Huh? The women. Now part of the argument of these scholars is that daughter we are talking about, that child we are talking about, will not be ascribed to the family or the mother. If anything happens to him or her, they come back to what? The father and the family of the father. So why are we given the right of some people to other people? This son or daughter will be ascribed to the father. Anything that has to do with what, maybe a marriage and things like that, will be handled by the father, as the Sharia has given them the what? The ability or the right to do that. Why are we not taking that thing away and giving it to the family of the mother? So in many cultures, so the children are ascribed to what? The father's side, not to the mother's side. So this is part of the argument of people like Ibn Taymiyyah and some others who are of the opinion that no, you can't do it that way. But it's a very controversial issue. And that's why some scholars, when they are asked things like this, they said what? It is the party that we watch will determine. Because if you are in a country where they use what? This view of what? After the mother, the grandmother. So the judgment that they will pass is this. But they all agree that the interest of the child comes first. The interest of the child comes first. That is, with respect to what? Maybe things of the deen and things like that. But let's say, okay, the child is okay if she's there, or if he's there, is okay, there, okay. You are not considering what you are comparing the rights of the father and the mother. Huh? The rights of the mother comes first. Bil ijma'. After the mother, whose right comes next? Huh? According to majority, the mother side. The women in the mother side. Then if there are no people there, then they come back towards to the father, then to women in the father side. So this is a very controversial issue among the scholars. And that's why scholars will say it should be handled by the Qudah, by the judges, to be those that want to determine that. As we said, the interest of the child matters. However, those scholars who have said it is the mother or the mother, the grandmother or the maternal aunt, they have not said that what? The father should not be allowed to see the child, contrary to what some people will do now. When they go away with the child, they put the child in their custody, they bar the father from seeing what? The child completely. This is not Islamic. This is what? It's not Islamic. You allow the father to see the child. The same thing is applicable to the father. You allow the mother to see the child. That doesn't mean what? You now block her completely from seeing the child, or block him completely from seeing the child because of the difference that you have because of the separation. No. This is not something that is okay. Unless if it is proven that maybe the mother or the father is likely to harm the child religiously. But if that is not the case, don't allow the difference between you because of the separation. You now hate the mother completely to the extent that you prevent her from seeing her child. Don't let the father completely to the extent that hurts you, prevent him from seeing the child. This is not the way of the Mustaful. Because the father still has what? Some rights to do. Some duties rather to do to the child. Just as what? He has a right. The same thing is applicable to the mother. So this is something that is very, very important that we ought to know. Whether we say this or we say the other. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said the best view, Allahu a'lam, is that the mother, after the mother, the father, then those who are the jadda or the amma of the father, those who are what, the women in the line of the father, then in the absence of these people, then it can go to this. Then if somebody has, for instance, now maybe there are two amma, two patana aunts, so which one is more likely to be in the custody, to have the custody of the child? So the one that is what? That is closer. The one that is closer will be the one that is more likely. Take for instance, now somebody may be related to the father of the child through the mother and what? Through the father, the same mother, the same father. Huh? And somebody may be an aunt, but just through what? Father. How this is going? So the one who is connected to the child, sorry, to the father, what? Through mother and father, will take precedence over the one who is connected through what? Through father only. Or through mother only. So this is the way Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala explains it, and it's a very a convincing position. But let's assume that you are living in a country where precedence is given to the mother side. So whatever the judgment is, the court pass is what you follow. But we are living in a society where there is no qadha. For instance, you only have what? Muftun, those who can give fatwa. And you know when the difference between fatwa and qadha is that fatwa doesn't have what? The binding force is not there. Unlike qadha, qadha has what? The binding force. Regardless of whether the qadha is correct or not, there is force to implement it. But in terms of fatwa, fatwa will be right, but there is no what? No force to bind to implement it. So that's why we should not be confused. At times you may ask some scholars, me and my wife, for instance, we are separated. Huh? And my wife has remarried. And that mufti tells you that what? The mother of your wife has what? More rights to the child than yourself. What type of nonsense is that? This is what some scholars have said, and part of their evidence is what we have read. You may call another person, another malam, and he tells you what? The view of people like Ibn Taymiyyah and the like. You say what? Why are the scholars divided on this matter? Then somebody who wants to follow our, will be looking for the one who give him what? Whose fatwa is going to favor him? As you said some weeks back, concerning those who be calling, who wants to promote their transactions or their trade, their products, call on what? Different manners. Until they get the one that says what? It is permissible, this product is permissible. Then what? They advertise the product and they say, so-and-so sheikh, a popular sheikh, so-and-so sheikh said what? These are the products, is permissible. Huh? So a Muslim should not be looking at it from that angle. Now if you want to have what? Ask evidence. When evidences are presented to you, at times what you hear may not favor you as a person. But if the evidence is more convincing, follow it. A lot of women today, like with a lot of men, when it comes to the issue of what the Sharia, we look for
things that will favor us, not things that Allah says, things that will favor us. So as Muslims, we should submit ourselves. Look for evidence first before you take position. Don't take position before you look for evidence. What most people do is what? We look for evidence. Sorry, we take the position, then we start looking for evidence that will support the position. So this is what? It's something that is very, very bad. So everybody can do that. But at the same time, when a matter is very, very controversial, we know this matter is very, very controversial. Something that is very, very controversial among the scholars, don't try to force an opinion on the people. Unless you are a Qadi, because you have to pass the judgment and go. Like this matter that you have mentioned now, it's a very controversial issue. And you as a parent, you watch, as a father, you want the child to come to you. The mother wants the child to be with her. So which one are we going to take? Open the area where the scholars, where they have what consensus, that the mother comes first. The area where the mother comes first. A lot of brothers will not want this. The area where there is consensus that the mother comes first. Some brothers will not want this. They will want the child to be with them. Is the mother not God-fearing? They say she's not God-fearing. They know deep down their heart that she's God-fearing. But because they want the child to be with them, no, they say she's not God-fearing. So we should know how to handle matters like this. Now, let's go back to Auntie Ahakubi, Madam Penkishi. You are more rightful to him as long as you have not remarried. If the woman remarries, she loses that what? Habana, that right. What if she seeks for color, she's divorced, she's out of the marriage. Is she more rightful again? After she has lost the hadona, now she now what? Because she wants to have what? The custody of the child. I prefer to have the custody of what? Of my child to what? Being in marriage. And she opted out of the marriage. The child go back to her? Yes, as long as she's not married. This is the way their opinion. Because she's not married now. So ordinarily she's more rightful to that thing. What has prevented her is because she is what? In marriage. If she's out of marriage, she's more rightful to that again. So meaning what, the child goes back to her according to the stronger opinion. Now if she's married, and maybe the husband prefers that the child is still with her, despite the fact that she's married to another man, and I mean the new husband prefers that the child is still with her. Is there any issue? Is there any issue? He needs permission of? Because she has remarried. So and what the Sharia says is what while I'm thinking. She's what? She's in marriage now. So the permission is not what restricted to the new husband. If the new husband says no problem, I welcome both of you. Because as far as I've said, the reason why the Sharia does not want her to go with the child to the new husband is because of the interest of the new husband. She may not be able to watch to do what she's supposed to do to the new husband. and maybe the children of the new husband, you know, want to be treating them the same way. So why try to attend towards to the child that he has brought from another place? Huh? That will be affecting what he's supposed to do, what she's supposed to do to the new husband. So the Sharia said, don't go and watch, compound or your matter. Now there's another person that is also right, leave the child for another rightful person, who is what? Maybe the husband, or as I mentioned before. Now, it's not restricted to that. Because if that one allows it, and the new one says, okay, you are remarried, whether that man says what, you can bring him or her in, so it is my right, you have to give me my right. So in this case, a lot of scholars said no. She has to what, return the child to the right place. The right place may be what, our own grandmother, or as I've explained before. Because issues like this, they come up often and often. They come up often and often. So we should know how to undo them. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم from Abu Hurairah Allah be pleased with him, he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا أتى أحدكم قادم بطعام, when the slave of one of you brings this food. Qadim here means a slave, or somebody that is maybe is taking care of one. Just like the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu took Anas to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do khidmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Anas radiallahu anhu did khidmah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. So, but the khadim here majorly means what? A slave. And the slave is always serving his master. فَإِنَّا مِجْلِسِهُ مَعَهُ, if he did not sit in with him, with himself, فَيُنَوِرُوا لُقْمَتَنَا وَلُقْمَتَيْنِ, they should give him a morsel or two morsels. متفقنا عليه. This is just in line with the hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِخْوَانُكُمْ خَوَالُكُمْ جَعَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَاتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَاتَ يَدِي فَلْيُتِمْعُ مِمَّا يَتَعَامُ الْإِبْلِيسُ مِمَّا يَلْبَسُ وَلَا يكلف ما يغلبه. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, your khawal, those that are serving you, they are your brothers. Don't maltreat them. Don't treat them like animals. Allah has put them under you. So whoever has his brother who is serving him, under him, should feed him from what he eats and clothe him from what he wears, and should not put on him what you weigh him down. If he does, then he should be ready to assist. So in one hadith said, وَإِنْ كَلَّفْتُمُهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُهُمْ فَعِلُهُمْ, if you place on them what you weigh them down, فَعِلُهُمْ, assist them. So the author brought the hadith to tell us that any person that is under you, you have to take proper care of that person. Any person that is under you. So if you are asked to take care of a khadim, then what about your child? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what kafa bil mari ithman an yudayya man yaqut. It is not a thing for somebody to watch. So do tajri, that is not to treat well man yaqut, the person that is responsible for his feeding and accommodation and his clothing and things like that. He's the one that is providing what? The food. What they will eat for them. Therefore, you not to provide what they will eat at the right time. This is what is enough, a thing. So there are many ahadith on this. That any person that you know you are responsible for their feeding, as you are eating, try to provide for them as well. So this is what is good for you. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال from عبد الله بن عمر may Allah be pleased with him he said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said عذبت امراة a woman is being punished في هرة concerning a cat فجنتها she put a cat in a cage حتى ماتت he is died فدخلت النار فيها and she was thrown into hell as a result of this. لا هي تعمدها she caged the cat she did not feed it وسقطها nor provide water for it إذ هي حبستها when she was tying it down. ولا هي تركتها nor did she allow the cat to go تأكل من خشاش الأرض to eat from what is on the surface of the earth from the hasharat, the insects and the like. She did not allow the cat to go. She tied the cat down. So this also tells us that even if what you are responsible for is not a human being, you have to take care of it. Not to talk of your children. No talk of your children. No talk of your wife. So if somebody is being punished because of what? A cat that she tied, because of the cat that she tied down, she caged, she did not allow it to eat from the insects on the ground. Rather, she put her in the cage, she did not provide food for the cat till the cat died. You're about the one who did not provide for a children and have the ability to do that. So all this tells us what? That we should be nice to those that are under us. When we eat, we should also provide for them. So and that is the reason why we have decided to have what? Children. Someone who decides to have a wife, you should know that God has a responsibility. If you don't want to get married, you have to provide for her. If you want to have children, you have to provide for her. If you don't have, that's a different case. But you have, and you refuse to provide for them. This is what? This is blameworthy. As the Prophet ﷺ said, كَفَ بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يُضَيِّعَ مَنْ يَقُوتُ مَنْ يَقُوتُ This is what? Is nakra. So those that he is what? He is responsible for. It is am, is general. Not restricted to what? To a particular person. All those that he is responsible for, they are feeding. So it is what? A thing for him to neglect them. So as you are trying to provide for yourself, you provide for those that are under you. So these are some of the hadith that the author brought concerning the issue of al-habana, child care, so which is very important as Muslims that we take note of and try to apply in our lives. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge, and may He subhanahu wa ta'ala make us His fame on His watch. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka la umma bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفر الله وأتوب إليك.
نعم. And the father of the children is not taking out the responsibility of the children. He shall already remarry. So then I will say, so that the children need to tell her that the father has not paid their children. She is both here and still in the state. Why is there a children? Anything the children are calling me, calling me, call her. I should not get the responsibility to do to what is not arrived. So I think what she
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Now, firstly, as we have learned, that it is compulsory on the man to take care of the children, to take care of even the wife. So if a man has the ability to pay the school fees of the children, and he does not pay, then in that case, it is painful. When I say school fees, what I'm trying to refer to is what the minimum thing that a man can do that he can afford. Because somebody may decide that my child will go to the most expensive school, and maybe the man puts his child in the most expensive school and he can no longer afford it. So if the wife sees something like this, she can use this as what? As evidence against the man. So we conclude with this that the man cannot take care of what of the child. As long as the man can provide education, even with less expensive amounts, as long as the place that the man is taking them to is not a place that is ample for their deen and that is ample for their growth. So in that case, will not pay the man, he is not doing his responsibility. But if the man is not doing his responsibility by not providing what he can afford to do, and the children maybe are just wondering about, they are not making progress religiously and maybe academically and things like that. In a situation like that, if it gets to that level, the child can be withdrawn. That is, the body, for instance, can decide that what maybe the child goes to another person. During the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala reported in Al-Muwatta, Umar radiallahu anhu got married to one of the Ansari women. And this Ansari woman had a child for Umar by name Asim ibn Umar. Now they were separated. The woman and Umar were separated. So based on what Messenger of Allah had said, the woman took away the child. But the child was placed in the house of the grandmother. The woman left the child with her own mother. So Umar went to Quba and he saw the child playing in front of the mosque. So Umar took the child and he was going with the child. So the grandmother ran after Umar. Umar said, "What's your problem? This is my child." The woman said, "My child." So they started what? They started disagreeing on it. So they took the matter to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was lying and said, "No, Umar, you can't take the child." And Umar just kept quiet because he knew what Abu Bakr was lying and was talking about. That is, for the fact that the child was playing, it had not gotten to the level of you saying what? To want to take the child from what the mother or the grandmother. So the shy here is that if the care we are talking about is not something that we say it has it's very poor or is poor, then we cannot accuse the man of not being of take the responsibility as some people who want to do a law.
In addition to the first one, because when you see the for taking the responsibility, but for the statement you want that you need to look at our life,
this girl that she had won, so you need to look at her that she's spending her money. So you know exactly.
Meaning the man is ready to what? To pay.
Well, he wasn't doing
it. Yes, he was not doing it, but he's ready to pay now. So he can what? Pay back those money she has spent. And that's the end of the dispute. Meaning he won't pay. So if he's not going to take care of the responsibility, in that case, they can take it to maybe Sharia panel and they look. Now, now, if the children are not up to the standard of the years, as we have asked, they are more righteous. Unless if we find some bad treatment that will be harmful to the body of the child, then in that case, based on that, the custody can be withdrawn. But ordinarily, the woman is more rightful. Some of the scholars have said, if the child has reached the age of 10 years, for instance, it is better that the child goes with the father. And if the child has reached the age of 10 years, because a girl that is reaching the age of 10 years now, people may be interested in her, trying to seek her hand in marriage and things like that. And if it was life with the father, the mother can't do that. So it is better the daughter is closer to the father at that point. So some of the mothers, they see that some see it other way, that no, she can get more training from the mother. But all this do not have what clear text from the Quran or the Sunnah. But when we look at it generally, we see that what, when the child is very, very young, she is more in need of the care of the mother than what? Than the father. When the child is growing, the child has gone beyond the age of 10 years, he or she needs what? The attention of the father to do what? Ada or ta'di for him or her. That is the religious teaching and the like. So they are more in need of the care of the father at that time. So this is why some scholars, they look at it from that angle. But the most important thing is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said what? Maybe the child that has reached the age of 10 years should what? Choose. Now if she chooses to be with the father now, can she or he have another choice? A child chooses that, I want to be with my mother now. Can she change that choice, or can he change the choice that I want to be with my father now? Or the first one, the first choice he has made is the final. A Raj is what is preponderant, and is that he or she can watch, can have watch, a change of touch. Okay, I've tested being with my father, I want to go to my mother. Is the right of. So the only thing is that when they see that one of the two parents, for instance, now is pushing her to end, or something that will damage her or him, then in that case, that choice will be changed. And if you remember what you said earlier, that the fact that the child had chosen one person, or the Sharia said the child should go to one person, doesn't mean what? The second party does not have any access to the child anymore. So if you understand this, there won't be much problem, much issue. Because the mother knows that the child will be allowed to visit her, and the father also knows that the child will be allowed to visit him. So it is the way a lot of people are treating the matter these days that is bringing this serious problem
that we are having. Wallahu a'lam. Okay. So automatically, when the child reaches that age, the child can decide. Yes. No harm. As long as the child has reached the age of what, of 10 years. Huh? This is based on some of the big positions. Even in a single madhab, they have different views here. But some of these things are not based on what authentic hadith of the Quran. It's just a kind of trying to look for what would be better for the child, looking at the interest of the child. And that's why when you see some people say, what, no, the male should be with the mother, and the female with the father. Some will say, what, no, the reverse is better. The female should be with the mother, while the male should be with the father. But all is what, considering the interest and the financial, I call it the religious uplift and growth of the child, Wallahu A'lam. Well, the issue of separation, is not a new thing. We just mentioned the case of Umar radiallahu anhu al Khalifa to Rashid. What will lead to separation of a man and a woman? So many things that meet the eye. So you may be looking it from outside, but they are those who are involved in this thing. The fact that they are separated doesn't mean this one is ungodly, this one is ungodly. When Messenger of Allah separated from Hafsa, Jibril came and said what? Asked him to do what? He said what? Raji Hafsa. فَإِنَّهَا قَوَّامَ قَوَّامَ وَظَرْجَتُكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ Take back Hafsa. She is what? She's a praying woman, she fasts a lot, and she is one of your zawja in al-Jannah. So he took her back. So it's not a new thing that people are separated. What has led to that separation? Allah knows. And they themselves, they know what has led to the separation. But the problem is that because we don't want separation, we want to bring them together forcefully. And the problem that they will be having in their house or in their matrimonial home will be worse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created or said what? فَإِنْسَاكُ لِمَعْرُوفِينَ أَوْ تَسْرِيهُمْ إِنْسَانِ وَإِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَ يُبْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِنْ سَعَاتِهِ So if they are all separated, Allah will enrich every one of them from his bounty. But you say, no, they must not separate. Even if you are going to force them to be together. And when you force them, they fight day in, day out. Yes, we make attempts to settle this food. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَكَلْ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَأَكَلْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَ إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِسْلَامًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا You try to settle. But don't see yourself as what? Somebody that will impose things on people. No. They just want to go away. You know the reason why they are separating. So it's not a new thing. Even the West that wanted, the separation in the West is what? Far, far worse than what appropriates in the Islamic countries that we are talking about. So but whatever attempt you can make that will not be active what you are trying to force people to be together when they see that what separation is what is better for them. So we can make those efforts, encourage, but we shouldn't impose ourselves on people. Allahu a'lam.
In addition
to what you just said now, in order to remind that I think the best part of the best person to attain knowledge and learn from Islamic culture. Now, going to the learning circles, this is something that we also minimize the things like this at their stage. Then in addition to that, we should also learn as much as possible to tolerate. That reduces this rate of talaq that we have. If you look at most of our parents, what they fear, particularly the women, the mother, wallahi, most of the sisters of today can't bear those things. Most of them can't bear it. You see a woman walking, I'm not saying this is what is encouraged, or it's not something that is encouraged. The man that doesn't feed his wife, his wife is going to be punished by Allah. But some women, some of our mothers, because they don't want to leave that home, they will be the one to walk, they will go and sell this. They will still provide food for the children and for the husband. Just because what they want to, they don't want to move around. Yes, Islam is not saying this is what is an ideal thing. But Islam says what? If you can compromise. A woman can compromise to remain what? In the union. Maybe considering the children that if she goes, these children are likely to suffer. But no. Like one of our staff told me some days back, he said a woman, because the husband took a second wife. In the right way, in the Sharia way. And the first wife was not pleased with that. The first wife had to call this Ustaz, and he said, "Oh, Ustaz, please come and tell your student that the girlfriend that he has brought that he has brought into the house, that he should come and take the girlfriend away." But that says, no, who don't partake in matters of girlfriend? The Salman said, he told him that, that it's because of this issue of, jealousy, that you are considering somebody who is married in a legal way to be what, a girlfriend. Wallahi, our parents, some of them have committed so many things. If somebody was to marry two wives inside what? A room. Say one room. I know of a man, he was right to do a bit. He had what, his own man follow, Then, and he put two wives inside one room. So each one of them will be coming at the on your own turn, will come to his own woman pastor. And they live like that till the man died. Now this is not ideal, but I'm just talking about the level that they can tolerate, because they don't want to move around. But today the woman will say, okay, the child of so-and-so person is going to a school where they are paying 300,000 naira per what, per time. You say what, Abu Labaja? Let's take our children to that school. She knows the income of the husband. And if the husband is not ready to do that, she will be what? Victimizing the husband. Then if the husband is victimized to the level that he can no longer be, what will come of that? Separation. So some of these things we should look at is the rate why this divorce of a teen is commonplace, is as a result of what, not tolerating one another. The same thing is applicable to the men. The slightest thing, you don't want to be anything. The Sharia has told us so many things about women. They will frustrate you. You have been doing this for them, doing this for them. If they see you one thing that they don't like one day, they say, "Watch, Mara Yatifika, Khairam Khartoum. You have never done anything good for me in your life." You know, this is something that, watch, that will be heartbreaking and, watch, this happens seriously. You know,
I bought so and so for you that day, bought so and so. Then now, today you are telling me you've not done anything for me in your life. Like somebody narrated to me that when he got married to his wife, that he would buy this, buy this, buy gold, buy a lot of things. So one day, in a deep sodaka, once they bought something, maybe from some of these malls, what was left, he now decided to give us the money to somebody who was in need. So when the wife, when they got to the wife, said, do sodaka, but you are not assisting us, you are not doing anything for us. The man said he was disturbed. You are not doing anything. So one thing he did, he said he kept quiet, so he was disturbed. Another time, the man had said that, do you know that the gold that you bought for me, the one you bought, I've not really used them. He said, so I've done something for you. I think you said the other time that I've not done anything for you. Just because the man did sadaqa with what? The change that was left. And the woman was not pleased with that. So she uttered that statement. You do for people, you won't do for me. So if one understands this, that from women that will come at times, though one may be angry at human beings, but if you understand this and you stomach it, you are likely to watch, to live together long. So tolerance, I think, wallahu alam, is the thing that is watched, that is not there, wallahu alam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them abundantly. Now some women, they push their husbands towards to commit things that are haram just towards to satisfy themselves. But as I've heard, some of the pious predecessors, their wives will not want their husband to eat something that is what haram. They prefer to be patient on this hunger rather than what saying what, okay, go and do whatever people do and get money. Even if what you are going to end up in hellfire. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. No, they can't go to the to their mother who is the kafir. They can't go to their mother. If they reach the age of 10 years, no, they can only visit her, but not to go to or to stay with her, because that will harm them as well. نعم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك وأتوب إليك